are back for an all new Keep It Real. Once again, I'm joined by Kendra James because we have got so much to talk about this week.
Hello. I'm so excited. We're in a transitional season with Housewives.
We are. Okay, first of all, I feel like this is one, a Bravo renaissance because the shows are good again for the most part. You know, OC was good again. We have, you know, Roni and, you know, we'll talk about that in a second, but we have Salt Lake City is amazing this season. I'm obsessed with it.
I love what we spoke about in our last conversation, which is that the shows, like, they were so dark and now it's just like light and easy to watch. And that's been really part of the joy of it.
Yeah, they've been light. They've been fun. I feel like the trailer for Potomac looks fun as well. I know that fight happened
off camera, right?
Off camera. And it seems like it was at almost the wrap party for the season. So I feel like they'll tease it, but it also involved Friends Of. So I don't even think it's going to be a major part of the season. They'll talk about it at the reunion, probably.
No, we can't have Muppets fighting on camera. They might get defeated by Jim Henson.
And then Beverly Hills looks interesting. I'm cautious. I feel like Beverly Hills is the franchise that scams us the most with trailers.
Mm-hmm. I would agree. It's all going to hinge for me this season on how much of the Morgan stuff we're actually going to get on camera. Because it's that. And then I am also looking forward to finally this sort of what seems final formation of the Garcelle Sutton Crystal group, which is what I've been waiting for like two seasons now.
Right. I'm just hoping Crystal brings something this season, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
She's just sort of there. And Kyle seems to hate her. So she is rich.
Because she's got money. Because she's got money and a marriage that isn't falling apart.
Right. So I think that's also the tea. And what else is coming back?
We've got Married to Medicine, which I'm thrilled
about. Married to Medicine, the best show on Bravo. The best show on Bravo. It looks great.
And Miami as well.
Oh, yes. And Miami, it was the best show at Peacock, and now it's coming to Bravo. I'm glad that it still looks lush, that they still seem to have the same production company. Like, I hope it also still has the same editing style. Like, I would like how they did flashbacks and how they, you know, had things pop up on the screen, graphics and stuff. So I hope that we still get that vibe and the show feels a little different than the other shows on Bravo, you know?
Yeah. And I know that, like, it's a little bit of an unpopular opinion. We talked a little bit about it with Heather Dubrow last time, but I'm genuinely happy to have some shows with some real wealth back on them.
Yeah.
Because that is part of the appeal. Miami, like, the first time we saw, I believe it's Alexia's apartment, where she lives in the, I think it's the Porsche building, where that car elevator goes up to her apartment. That's what I want.
That's what we want to see, Monica from Salt Lake City. That's what we want to see. I want to see wealth.
Well, here's the thing with Monica. What I will say is, at least she's not faking humble. Because that's disgusting.
That's fair. Yes.
When she got into the car with that messy bun and like four children screaming at her and she's trying to eat a piece of bacon and drive with her other hand, that felt real.
And there's, listen, this, I do always appreciate a struggling housewife on the show because I will say that it adds
something.
Right. Gina, you know, Robin on Potomac, it always adds a little bit of like death to the show, you know, like everyone's rich and then you have the person who's like trying to keep up with the Joneses, you know?
Exactly. So, and that's relatable in a way. I mean, who hasn't bought a Louis Vuitton bag on a whim?
Okay, so this week I interviewed Cy Da Silva and the show has, we're gearing up for the reunion on Sunday. The finale has happened. Now that we have seen the show, and I feel like there have been three acts of the new Roni. It started out where there was still all this Lizzie stuff and everyone's getting to know each other. There was the second act where people were really enjoying the show. It was entertaining. It felt like a breath of fresh air. And then the third act really had just been bogged down by Cy and Aaron and this Jessel shit. And I just like, I barely even, it took me forever to even watch the last three episodes. I haven't even done rankings. I was doing rankings weekly on my newsletter, and then I just stopped doing it because I was like, I don't even want to watch it on Sunday night. And it took me forever to even watch it on Peacock because I was just tired of seeing Psy, who I'm interviewing in a bit. But it's she's just been so, and the internet is, I have not seen the fandom of Housewives collectively agree on something like this in forever.
So my thing with Psy has so many problems. The thing that I have focused on the most in the last three episodes is her fixation. And this to me says she does not have money. Her fixation on the Miles thing. I don't know if you have Miles. Do you have Miles guys in your life? You know, some straight men.
Yes, baby. I have Delta, and I was Delta Diamond for the past 2 years. And then obviously with the strike and my bills being affected, I've lost my status. I'm like teetering around like gold or like something now. And I'm like, if I even want to, there's been years, like previous years, where I've wanted to, you know, get over to Diamond, right? I feel like in 2021, I went to Miami for Basel, and then I went again for New Year's just because those amount of miles bumped me over to what I needed, you know? And if you are a person who uses miles, like, you will go on a trip to get those miles because it is worth it having it next year when you're working and you need to be in a lounge or you need, like, free upgrades. You know, I love my miles. Diamond gets me from, I can book the main cabin on Delta, and then it will automatically push me up to Comfort Plus, which is great because then I can use one of the regional upgrades that I have to go to Delta One. And that is what I did when I flew to Colombia.
This is the kind of conversation that you have. And this is like why I was like, have you never been in a conversation like this? I mean, I understand that your eyes might start to glaze over hearing someone talk about it. But to jump from that to essentially accusing a man of going to another country for sex tourism
is also racist.
Also racist and disgusting on so many different levels. I'm lucky enough to be married to a man who watches all of these shows with me. And he looked at me. He looked at me during that scene and he was like, I want you to know that if someone was talking about you and I like this on a show, I would punch them in the face. And I was like, you would be, to have someone accusing my spouse of that is vile. And you've only been on the show for one season.
Right. You also don't know them well enough to make that joke, you know. You know, like Giselle would make that joke jokingly about Juan Dixon, you know, but she's friends with Robin and has known her for years. She'd make the joke about Chris too, because she hates Candace.
Right.
And also, what's interesting is, you know, when I interviewed Jessel too and was getting to know her and like we've gotten to know Pavitt. It's so interesting too because I feel like these two are maybe we know more about Pavitt and Jessel than we know about anyone else on the show.
Certainly.
Bryn, we know quite a bit about her relationships and stuff and about how she grew up. I'll give her that. But I would just say that, like, we know so much about Pavitt and Jessel as we would learn about any other new housewife joining a show. And so it makes perfect sense that he would do this. Like, he fucking loves food, you know? Yeah. And he's on, like, a food committee in New York. It's like they love going to – they're also – I pointed this out to her. It was like, they are the people who, whenever they visit a restaurant on the show, I write down the name of it so I can go and visit it here.
And that's key. That's key. They are culture.
Yeah.
What is Psy bringing us?
Nothing.
Truly nothing. And then, like, also her husband, I was glad her husband did apologize to Uba, but to say that in the first place, again, it was like this sort of jumping in this assumed familiarity that I just didn't like coming from them.
Yeah, so I asked Psy to explain herself a bit in the interview, but I also just want to ask too, like, do you think that, you know, she can morph into a fun villain, or do you think that she is going to course correct after the reunion? And I honestly feel she will be brought back. I've talked to Andy about it when I went to watch What Happens Live to see Z Way. I went to see Z Way and Mary Cosby. I have an indirect line. I don't have Andy's number, but I have someone's number who has his number. I'm friends with his godson. But I was at Watch What Happens Live for Mary and Z Way, which was insane and so much fun. But I asked, I was like, girl, what's going on with Cy and this reunion? And he's like, he likes her. I think he likes all of them, you know?
Yeah. So my feeling there is I actually have more faith in Aaron becoming a very reliable and like down the middle villain. Because I don't think Aaron has enough self-awareness.
Very Kyle behavior too.
Yeah.
You know, she is the person who is like, well, let's get it started with a fight, you know?
Yes. And I don't think that she has the self-awareness that is necessary to make a course correction, because I think she probably is seeing herself as she is in the right. Cy, on the other hand, is a person who is already limiting comments on their Instagram page. And so I have the feeling that she's taking a lot of this negative response to heart, and that we are going to see the quote-unquote softer side of Sears when we return for season two. I don't know how long that mask is going to be able to stay up.
But no, I think that because a lot of people do that, and then all of a sudden it blows up, you know?
Yeah.
So it's really fun. And I think I love, listen, there's nothing I love more than shifting dynamics on a Housewives or Bravo show. I think that it's reminding me a lot of, Married to Medicine, right? Remember when Mariah created the show and she brought on Quad, and then Quad became the star. And then by second season, they had already had that fight between seasons, and Mariah was like, fuck you to Quad. Like, you stole my role on the show. And I think that this is, it's reminding me of classic Roni in that, there's that fight where River Ramona at BravoCon arguing with Vicky about how, like, which one's better. So, like, Vicky's like, we were first. And Ramona's like, we were on magazines. We were everywhere. You know, like, Roni is culture. And that reminds me, too, of someone tried to, someone was making this joke about the new Gossip Girl reboot. And I was like, and like the clothes and stuff, they're like, the clothes look better on the reboot. I'm like, okay, but whatever. The clothes that they were wearing in 2007 were 2007. And also, Gossip Girl was culture. Gossip Girl was on the cover of Rolling Stone. It was everywhere. Like, people were constantly talking about Gossip Girl, the way they talk about Mad Men.
Yeah, had those of us with 4C hair trying to, like, stick a headband in there.
And that is just to say that Jessel is getting Rolling Stone spreads, okay? So we are going to go into season... Right. We're going to go into season two with Jessel's at top, and I certainly don't think Jenna is coming back, at least not in a full-time capacity.
No, and I'm a little sad about that because I do like her weirdness.
I enjoy her, but
she
just doesn't want to play ball, you know?
Yeah. What I did really like was the dynamic. We talked a little bit about this in the office. That photo shoot that Jessel had at Jenna's apartment was such a new dynamic for Housewives, because Jessel was having the photo shoot. She's doing the direction. Jenna comes in for a moment and, you know, gives notes because this is what she does professionally. And then Uba also comes in and does the same thing. And it was great to see both of them in their elements, Uba as a professional model and Jenna as someone who ran a large fashion company. And then it was also amazing to see Jessel not be a bitch about it. Because on any other franchise, we would have had a confessional being like, I don't know why she's trying to take over. Like, what is she doing? This is my show.
Here, she's like, please take over.
Yes. Yeah. And that,
she's
a
student. Jessel is soaking up so much, and she's taking it all in. So she's playing the game very well. And I think I cannot wait for them to add season two, hopefully maybe like one or two new girls, and just see like how everyone responds to Jessel being on top. They're going to be coming after her.
I think she's ready. I think she can do it.
She's ready.
Yeah.
So coming up, I have an interview with the name that's been on everyone's lips, Cy Da Silva from The Real Housewives of New York. And after that, Kendra and I are going to do a brief AMA of your Bravo questions once again. So my guest today is a high, high type of chick. You know her as the mind behind Scout the City and as one of the new members of The Real Housewives of New York's reboot. She is a trend-setting influencer with hundreds of thousands of followers. And if you saw her pictures from Fashion Week, then you see why. She is a fashionista, and she also co-hosts the podcast Harder Than We Thought. We're happy to have Sai De Silva with us today.
Hello. I'm so excited to be here. What a warm welcome, by the way. I was
we like to be nice to people when we start out, you know?
Yeah, when we start out. Okay, got it. Note it. When we start out. Okay. That was a warm-up, everyone. Got it. I got it.
All right, Sai, let's get into it. I'm sure you have seen reactions from the new Roni, you know, and everyone now has had several episodes to get to know everyone on the show. How do you feel that people have been responding to you on the show? And what has your response been to the response?
Well, I'm not a responder. I'm kind of like unless it's a clap back. I do clap back every now and then. It just depends on what mood I'm in that day. But I like to clap back in a way that's kind of humorous. Like, girl, you're cranky today. I hope everything works out for you today. Like, I don't try and get all rude and mean. For me, though, I think what people don't really understand is that I am very much so a New Yorker. I was raised here. The way I am is just very honest. And sometimes honesty does not sit well with others. I think maybe if I was a little bit more, I guess, smiling when I said the honesty, when I called you out, maybe it would come off a little bit better. But I think because I'm just so direct, sometimes it rubs people the wrong way. But at the end of the day, I have no ill intent. I'm not a malicious person. I just want people to be honest. That's it. I just want people to own it. Just own it, okay? Like, own your shit, guys.
True. I would say that if anything, I would say that maybe you complain the most in an episode is what I see online. But for you, that's just you're commenting on what the other people are doing.
Right. And that's another thing. It's so interesting. In my everyday life, I can't stand a complainer. So to watch myself in a way that I'm constantly complaining, I actually was blown away because, yes, I'm hungry. I am the hungry girl. I'm always hungry. That is correct. I stand by it. That edit is very true. I am very hungry at all times. Like, I work out. I don't eat meat. You know, I eat every 3 hours. And when you're filming, it is a very long day. So I don't think people see the moving parts of what's going on behind the scenes. There's only how many power bars and dried mangoes can I eat, you know, before it's like, homegirl needs to sit down and have a sandwich. Because when you're hangry, you're hangry. Like, I can't function when I'm hangry.
So that's an interesting point. Can you walk us through, you know, so an event, you're recording one or you're doing like a day of taping, right? You know, you get to say Aaron's event with no damn food. What is your day like leading up to then? Because, you know, some people might say, we'll eat right before you come, or like, you know, like Uber was like, order a pizza there or something. But like, what is the actual specifics and moving parts of your day taping something like that? And when do you get to eat?
Yeah, it varies and it really depends because, again, at the end of the day, I also have another job that I'm working on too. Not that I'm not blaming anything. Let's take it back to Aaron's house when she served the caviar and everything like that.
Okay, yes, but Aaron,
let's start there. What Aaron did, I thought was lovely. It was great. She gave us a little bit of a snack. However, our day started at 8 o'clock in the morning. We're getting mic'd. We're waiting for everyone to come. Everyone met me at my house. One girl was extremely late, maybe an hour and a half late. At this time, yes, I ate. Like, I got my snacks in the car. I'm snacking. That was on TV. We saw me snacking. And then there was a point where we're like, should we stop? Should we get sandwiches? However, because we were behind on time, production was like, we can't stop right now. We have to continuously go. So therefore, we've missed lunch. It takes us four hours to get there with traffic. So now we have the morning hours, the 4 hours that it was in the car. By the time you get to someone's house, you're like, I kind of want more than Pringles.
You're snacking, you get there, and then but you're mic'd up. Like, you can't stop for sandwiches at Provisions, you know?
Right. It's just, if the timing is when you're working, you're working. When you're doing things, you're doing things. And the timing, you know, people don't see the stuff that's not on camera. People don't see how long it took to mic up, to travel, to wait on your other castmates. So I feel like Erin did get caught in the fire with me complaining about the food. And she really was a really great host. She couldn't help all the other things that went, that happened. It just so happens when I got there, I was like, look, I need more than Pringles. A girl needs more than Pringles. I'm just really hungry. And as you see, Uba went to Provisions. Like, she was like, look, I'll take it upon myself. I'll go. And I was like, great, pick me up a salad or something. But unfortunately, it closed.
It was closed.
The drama continues. I gotta give you some type of drama, okay? Like, if I'm gonna be the hungry girl, let me be the hungry girl. Here's your drama, okay?
So is Erin's food, like, good, or is it just not good or bad, or is it just non-existent? Because there's that event, but then, you know, there's also the event with her vow renewal too.
Look, again, Erin's amazing. I think she's great. Everything she's done is amazing. It's just when, again, it was an anniversary party. I understand she's not going to have a buffet there. But it's just, it was prime time, dinner time for some people. The event was from 7 to 11. I had just came from my daughter's event. I was running around. I have to get mic'd up. It's the same thing. And it's just unfortunate that it happens at her event. So it makes it seem like, you never have any food, because I am the one, I'm the one who's complaining, right? Like, I own it. Mm-hmm. Fine, I get it. I own it. I'm always complaining at her events. But I don't eat meat. So there's a lot of things that I cannot eat, and it's not her fault. I'm just a hungry chick, you know?
So let's move on to another complaint. Okay. And this one is Jenna Lyons. When you came into the show, were you, I guess, surprised by the amount of sort of promotion that Jenna was doing of products, and that's why you brought it up? Or was there a sense also that you were thinking, damn, I wish I had like had some things to promote if that's all the girls are going to be doing on this show?
No, I don't think that way. I'm a girl's girl, okay. So I always love to promote my friends at the end of the day. And honey, at the end of the day, I'm also booked and busy. So I'm like, no shade, by all means, I love for us all to come up. If we could come up together, I think it's great. For me, and I'm glad that you brought this up. For me, I felt like because I didn't know Jenna very well when I first started, I never received a gift from a person every single time I saw them. And it almost made me feel like she was just trying to like buy a friendship almost. Not that she needs to. But it was in a way like, hey, I'm okay. Don't worry. We're fine. Here's a peace offering. And then after that, I realized it kept being promotional gifts. So it made me feel like, okay, is this brand awareness and you want everyone to see what you've been doing, you know, for a while? Like, it's on display. So that's, from someone who works in this industry, that's how I felt at the moment. But getting to know Jenna in those 3.5 months, I realized, no, she really is genuinely just a gift giver. And a New Yorker in me is like, well, why are you doing it, girl? What's your, what's the motivation? I don't trust you. Are you trying to buy my love? Are you trying to buy my affection? What's your deal? And you know what? I just overthought the shit. Like, I apologize. She really is a very nice person, but I didn't understand it. New Yorkers are always like, what's your deal? Why are you being so nice?
Yeah.
But she's genuinely just a very nice person. So it was just a misunderstanding.
That's interesting to hear too, because listen, I'm a generous friend and I love giving gifts, but I'm also more of I always bring something to someone's house. That's my gift, you know? I don't give a gift every time I see a friend.
It's weird, right? That's why I was like, oh, every single time. It just felt ingenuine. That's all. But she really is just someone who loves to give gifts, and she likes to take care of people around her. So it's nice. I'm being open.
Well, so let's talk about your job as an influencer, and also, you know, correlating that to the show. Were there moments where you were thinking about products that you might want to integrate into the show, or were you sort of cognizant of, I want to just bring myself to the show and not sort of use it to sell specific items? Because I feel like we've seen, and maybe there's stuff that we just haven't seen on camera, we've seen, you know, that your job is an influencer, but I don't think we've seen many scenes of, you know, you selling a product or you presenting like a product that you put on your Instagram, you know?
Yeah, another great question. I think when people found out that there was going to be a creator influencer on the show, they automatically assumed that I was going to get on there and start selling you stuff with a swipe up link. Like, yes, this is very much
so. That was the complaint for the show, to be honest. They thought the whole cast was going to be influencers.
And it's, I actually happened to be the one person, not one, but one of the people who did not promote a thing. Like, this is my job and I do take it very seriously. I do it full time. I've worked very hard for this seat at the table of where I am. And I never want to be like, here are these products that I'm trying to sell you. I'm not that type of creator. I'm, of course, yes, by all means, I definitely team up with brands. But that's stuff that I do digitally. That my persona and who I am on the show, even though it is very much so me, it's completely separated from my actual job. So it's just two different things. And I want people to see what I do for a living and take it seriously. I didn't want to come on Roni and just be like, here's all these things. Here, buy them. That never crossed my mind, to be honest.
I feel like that's sort of a weird catch-22 that you would be caught in with your specific job, because I feel like for most housewives, you know, if you own a wine business, or, you know, if you run a restaurant, or, you know, if you're in construction like Aaron, it's very easy to show your job and you show a 24/7 sort of, here's my life and here's my job. But for your job being an influencer, if you're showing your job, you're also, I guess, selling a product and not just showing your job.
That's true, but I also create content, and I think that they did capture that quite often. I did create content a lot. I mean, I didn't, it even showed when I did it with my photographer. Like, I do have a team that is driven behind this. I'm not doing it all alone. And it's not, creating content is not just sitting around taking a selfie, and I think that's what people think it is. There's just so much that goes into it, and it's not all about me just being a product pusher. You know, there's a reason why I have such great clients and why they continuously work for me. I mean, work with me over and over again. But I just, I want people to see that it really is a legitimate business, you know, and to, it gets a bad rap and it shouldn't.
Yeah. I mean, I guess walk me through your job as an influencer and how, you know, you feel like you are sort of differentiated too, as, you know, a woman who is not, you know, in her early 20s promoting, you know, I'm running around New York and I'm just taking selfies. Like, this is an actual business that you've made. So, you know, like, how do you feel like you as an influencer is separated from what people generally just think an influencer is?
Yeah, I mean, well, let's for starters, I have a team. Everyone gets paid on payroll. I cut checks every 2 weeks. Everyone is eligible for health insurance. If you need health insurance, by all means, I'll either pay for the whole thing, or if you get a high salary on my team, then you have to pay for some of it. I also will match your 401k. Like, I'm very much so a business. And as I grow, whoever is with me will also grow too. I mean, I've had the same members on my team for quite some time. I actually need to hire some new ones since we are growing. So that's definitely something that sets me apart from younger influencers. And then at the same time, people don't see that we're very much so, and I like to say this when I explain my job, like an advertising agency. When I team up with a brand, let's just say, for example, I'm teaming up with Whole Foods, hypothetically, okay? I'm teaming up with Whole Foods. Whole Foods will come to me and say, listen, these are the things that I want you to do. I have deliverables. Deliverables will outline everything that they need from me. So that can be reels, Instagram, stories, YouTube videos. Those are deliverables, right? And then what they want to promote. So Whole Foods says, I want to promote 365. Can you give me a concept? I have to come up with the concept. I have to present them with the concept. I do a mood board. Where I'm going to shoot? Where is the location? When is it due? When is the proof date? Everything that you see that is an ad needs to get approved. I cannot just go ahead and be like, wow, that was great. Let me go ahead and post it. they have to approve every last thing. So I'm working very closely to the brand hand in hand until we execute everything. And then once it's executed, once everything has been posted, I need to follow it up with all of my analytics because they need to see an ROI for their investment, right? So what was the return on their investment? What were the analytics? How many people saw it? How many people? What was the brand awareness? Like, what was the point of it? Some people want sales. Mm-hmm. Some people want brand awareness. What exactly did the brand get or benefit from working with me? Mm-hmm. And that's kind of a little bit of what we do.
How would you say that you even got into this as a career? And what would you say that maybe people who want to follow this career path are getting wrong in their attempt to become an influencer or even start, you know, influencing online?
The first thing that you would probably be getting wrong is comparing yourself. Let's stop that, everyone. Let's stop comparing ourselves, because I think when you find your unique and authentic voice, you can go so much further. There's only one you. So why be someone else? It just does not work. And I've learned that the hard way. When I started, it was 10 years ago when everyone had a blog. You know, people were reading blogs back then. We were taking all of our own photos and doing these like amazing blog posts and coding them. And, you know, we had like the B-roll on the side, the blogger roll on the side of all your favorite friends. You know, it's like almost like MySpace, like right before MySpace type. But it was an outlet and it was fun. And it was something that I did every single day because I enjoyed it. It was a passion. If you're going to do this job, you need to be passionate about it. You need to realize like, hey, there could be one entire year, maybe even 2 years, that you'll make $0 and 0 cents. So you need to be willing to show up for yourself and show up for the fact that you love to do it. Because if the minute that you get on here and you're like, no, I'm going to make $1 million if I start posting every day, it's not going to work. It's going to fail. You need to be passionate about this. You know, this job is very much so 24/7. It's very much so your life, and they're infused. You go on vacation. Guess what? All your followers are going on vacation too. Yay, we're going on vacation. Obviously, you don't have to post every last thing because it's curated. It's curated to what you want your audience to see at the end of the day, but you need to very much so treat it as if it's a job. So if you have your hours, baby, clock in. Shoot your content ahead of time. Put it inside your phone so you can post it later. If you want to look raggedy in bed right now, but you want everybody to see you looking flawless from earlier this morning, shoot it earlier this morning. Post it when you look raggedy at night, you know? It's a business.
What would you say to the responses that this season of New York, and it, you know, you're all getting to know each other. The response is that it feels like there's a bit of trauma bonding every week with someone sort of telling a new sad story about their life and almost seeming like they're trying to one-up one another. And that was definitely your complaint in this previous episode with Jessel.
I think people need to give us a break for a second. We are first time out. I understand that this is season 14, but this is season one for us. Mm-hmm. No one knows us. We are trauma filled. We are broken. We are human beings, and we're all just want people to get to know us. So it's either one, yes, I'm screaming at Jessel for like not telling her story because she's not, you know, or screaming at Jenna for not opening up. But at the same time, it's like, we don't know anything. We know nothing. We're all getting to know one another. We're getting to know one another. The audience is getting to know us. So yes, we're opening up and we have traumatic stories. It's just all part of getting to know us. I mean, if it was a season two or season three and we're still with the same violins, then yes, maybe check us. Like, you know, let us know you're tired of the sad drama. But I think season one, it's just give us a break. Just get to know us a little bit more.
Mm-hmm. Were you surprised when you arrived at the reunion and you found out the seating arrangement?
Nah. It's six seats. I got one of them. It's like, you know, I'm grateful to be there. I'm happy to be there. Mm-hmm. I wasn't surprised. You know what? I do watch the franchise, but I was never someone who went overboard about the seats. Like, you know what I mean? I've always looked at it in a way that it was just like, it's you still are on the show. Like, isn't that an honor enough?
Yeah. Do you feel like the ladies sort of turned things up a bit at the reunion, wanting to sort of propel the show into a second season?
I think the reunion was a very... It's not going to be something where we're ripping each other's heads off at all. Mm-hmm. I think it was a place for us to just really talk and get things out and open and everyone kind of share exactly what they were feeling. I think it did what it was supposed to do. I'll be honest, it was tough for me because I'm not a very vulnerable person. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of almost hard to talk through my feelings. You know, at the end of the day, I love my friends, but I'm not going to be overly like fuzzy and warm and, you know, and all those things. And I felt like in that moment, all of a sudden I turned into that fuzzy, warm girl.
It's just been interesting. And you've talked about this on the show too, about not being such a vulnerable person, but it also felt like you were a person who was constantly asking the other women to share. So was that you sort of trying to counteract the fact that you don't usually feel like being vulnerable in situations like that?
No, that was just me being nosy. Like, I love to know everybody else's business. No, I want to know your business all day.
You're like, what's like, good?
Don't worry about me. Enough about me. What about you? Tell me about you.
If you could pick a former Real Housewife of New York to join you all next season, who would it be?
I don't know. That's a really tough one. I feel like we're a really solid group right now, to be honest. Mm-hmm. I think that we are all so different, but in a good way. Like, we're very dynamic together. I think that there is one particular personality that someone will relate to. Like, there's six of us. Someone's going to relate to someone in this group, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think that together, though, we're really good. We're really great and solid together. So at this very moment, I would have to say no one. I think we're whole.
Okay. Excluding past people from Roni, then, you know, you're a New Yorker yourself, and what people have really loved about this season too is that you're getting out of the Upper East Side. You're seeing different parts of the city. As a New Yorker yourself, is there a part of New York that you still would love to see represented on the show? Like, not necessarily a person that you know, but just someone from like, damn, someone from this neighborhood or someone with this New York vibe would really be interesting to see on Real Housewives of New York.
Oh my God. What about the Boogie Down Bronx? What about somebody from the Boogie Down? You guys think I'm crazy. You think I'm like, wait a minute. Everybody thinks I'm so brash and direct. Let's get somebody from the Boogie Down and see what happens. I don't know. Somebody might shake it up. Shake it up. I think the Bronx would be really, really fun. Let's see. I think for the most part, we are representing most of New York. I think we're pretty good. We're pretty well rounded.
Yeah.
That's funny. That's a good question.
I mean, there might be a bit more than taking off Aaron's sunglasses, you know.
There might be. If you ask someone I'm telling you, I don't know. We're going to have some serious drama. That's hysterical. So funny.
Was there anyone on the cast who you would say that you were surprised that you came away with a good sort of friendship with? That like maybe like once you initially were filming, you were like, I don't have like a read on them. And then once you wrapped and now even post-reunion, you're like, actually this person, like I really sort of vibe with.
There's a few people I think that I got into it with. There are some girls that I started out hot and heavy with, and then we ended up getting into it. And then I think after the reunion, we were all in a really good place. But I think a person that I really speak to every single day, who I have to be like, girl, you gotta get off my phone, is probably Uba. I remember one day I was talking to Uwe and I was trying to go and get a massage. It was supposed to be my day that I was like, calm, peace, quiet. Mm-hmm. When I tell you I had to walk from 60-something street to 20-something street because I could not get Uwe off the phones and I couldn't get on the train. And I was just being the friend that listened. And I was like, okay, girl, I'll just keep walking. I'll just keep walking. Uwe's just, you know, she's so full of energy and so full mm-hmm. of love. As long as you don't poke her the wrong way, you guys are going to have a very solid relationship.
Mm-hmm. You two are the food girls, too, yes, I would say. Yes. You've been presented that on the show. Like, what kind of food do you like in general? Like, what would be your best event that you go to and someone puts out a platter and you're like, okay, damn, they did it for Sai.
Somebody got some rice and beans. Somebody got some arroz con gandules and some plátano. And like, if you have some good Caribbean-type food, I mm-hmm. am there. I'm like, yes, you got the memo. But it's funny because Uwe loves rice and beans, too. Mm-hmm. So we're always kind of thinking if we should have, like, a rice and beans cook-off. Because obviously, I make it a little bit different than she does. But I think mm-hmm. it would be funny if we had, like, a rice and beans cook-off.
That'd be fun. I'd love to see
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it would be.
Yeah. Okay, so lastly, what are like some of your favorite like spots in New York then? I mean, like either just to visit or hang or like food spots that someone definitely has to try if they're in New York. Because me, myself, I just moved back to New York after 12 years in LA for work.
Oh my
so
God,
I'm like,
welcome back.
I'm like, this is, so much has changed. So I'm like, what spots should I definitely be hitting up?
Oh my God, that's the thing about New York is that it moves so mm-hmm. fast and so quickly. So what I would like now is probably not great anymore, but there's a lot of amazing restaurants that have opened. Have you been to Raff's yet? R-A-F-S?
I haven't.
That's a really great
Italian
spot. Someone
brought it up to me, but I haven't been.
Yeah, there's a few. There's, you know what? I could, hold on. I got a whole list for you. Let me see. I texted my girlfriend the other day because she asked me where she should go. And I'm like, what about these? Okay, so we have Lula, Cucina Alba, Cafe Chelsea, Holiday Bar, Phuket. Where's the other place that I went to?
I'm always talking about the Holiday Bar. I'm friends with the owner, Kyle, and also with Heather, who works there, who was on the show. She's friends with Jenna. I ran into Jessel last time
blonde,
I was there.
Blonde hair, right?
Yeah. Yes. Jessel was sitting exactly in the next booth while I was there. So
there you go. I guess you're already, honey, you're already on the street. You already know. You're out and about. Okay. You're in them streets.
Okay, where can I get some rice and beans then? Where do I go for the rice and beans?
Rice and beans, unfortunately, I think Puerto Rican food, and also I don't eat meat, so it's a little tough. Mm. So I just have to fly my aunt in, and she cooks for me. Sorry. But next time that she comes over, I will invite you over. Okay. I'll let you know.
I love that, importing that aunt and be like,
I want
some rice and beans. So.
I got to give her a call.
Well, thank you so much for being here, Sai.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. It was fun.
Yeah, it was fun.
Do you still think I'm a mean girl? Or are we cool now?
No, you know what? I think that you give it, and I'm excited to see what you give at the reunion. And, you know, I think it'll be nice for everyone to continue to see more of you and everyone else on the show, because I'm really enjoying it.
Thank you. I think just if everybody just gives us a chance, you know, I get it. It's our first season and we're not trying to fill any shoes. You know, we came in kind of like everyone was comparing us and we're trying to fill some shoes, but those are big shoes to fill and we're not trying to fill those shoes. We're just, mm-hmm. we're all new cast. And it takes some time to get used to. I get it. Mm-hmm. It's polarizing to go from one thing you've had for 13 years to all of a sudden something brand new. And a lot of people don't like change as well. Sometimes when mm-hmm. change comes around and people freak out, which I have seen. But together, I think we are a really great group of women who do support one another. You know, the drama was a little petty, but it was still drama filled, you know. But there's more to come. So stay tuned for sure.
Coming up, a Bravo AMA with Kendra. Okay, now that we've got the Psy interview out the way, let's talk about some Bravo questions.
Out of the way.
First question. What are our thoughts on Phaedra joining Married to Medicine?
I'm excited. I had not watched Married to Medicine until early last year. I was very late. I'm not going to lie about that. Brilliant. I love how that show manages to balance genuine mess. Season one, if you watch that show and you get to the end of season one, you will be greeted with one of the worst fights I've ever seen on Bravo. It really elevates past Monique dragging Candace in a winery. And so it manages to balance scenes like that, then with scenes of like sort of genuine healing growth, and then also community engagement in a way that no other show has really managed to do. And I think Phaedra actually has the potential to really help both of those sides. I do believe that she can be involved in sort of that, like when they're doing COVID vaccines in the neighborhood and all that stuff. And then we also know that she's going to get in with the mess.
She's messy.
I'm so thrilled to see her back on television. I fully understand why she can never go back to Real Housewives of Atlanta. I get that.
Absolutely, never.
Yeah. But I'm also glad they didn't try to get her to move to Dubai, because that just wouldn't have felt real.
It would have felt fake. I mean, like whatever she's doing with like her medicine here. But
well, she's dating a doctor, Ira.
Yes, yeah, allegedly head doctor. I will say that. You know, it's interesting because Lewis and I just talked to Jinx and Ben De La Creme on this week's episode, and we talked about, you know, reality shows and how, you know, like they don't really like reality shows because it sort of goes into, at least they like competition shows, but like the other ones where it's like women fighting with each other and it's sort of about taking people down, et cetera. And it is really interesting that Married to Medicine is one of the shows with a collection of women where it is largely not about the takedowns or fights or seeing someone win. It really is about like healing. It is about these women's friendships over the years. This season, I'm still waiting for, you know, Dr. Jackie to fix her relationship with Simone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And
get it back to where it used to be. You root for these women.
And I would say it's not only about the women and their relationships with each other. I think also if you're a fan, if you haven't watched Married to Medicine and you're a fan of Real Housewives of New Jersey, and specifically if you're a fan of the way that New Jersey manages to incorporate the husbands and incorporate the families, then Married to Medicine is actually a show that you might really glom onto quickly.
In a good way.
Yeah, in a good way.
Because I care about the husbands on this show. Jersey, I'm like, I'm sick of them.
But no, get me on Married to Medicine, I'm like, more Dr. Eugene. I have such a crush on Eugene.
Eugene is so funny.
The way he got that IRS letter, he gets that IRS tax lien letter, and he, unlike any other person on Bravo, he sits down at that kitchen table and he says, "Ma'am, we must downsize." I have never heard those words. My jaw dropped.
Toya reminds me so much of my mother, who is just very like, she wants to downsize, she wants to help, but she's also just like, ultimately not going to do it. So there's always that push and pull between. Okay, did we see this morning the Nene and Cynthia photo on Instagram? They ran into each other. Yeah.
Yes.
How do we feel about that?
I mean, unless Nene's coming back to the show, what am I supposed to feel? Good, y'all are down in Atlanta. I'm here in Los Angeles. I can't see you.
Let's see. Next question. Which housewife tropes do you think work and which ones don't work anymore?
I mean, I know we've discussed it. I'm over legal stuff right now. I'm like really enjoying where we are with that. Have you watched last night's Salt Lake City?
I have not watched it yet, but I am sort of over the trope that's happening this season. Every season has some sort of gay rumor.
Yes.
Every show has had one. I'm really over that trope. And it's just, It's very exhausting. And this one especially feels faker on Salt Lake City because here's my thing, Angie. Your husband's been a hairdresser for 30 years, and this is something that you've heard before. And so I do not buy that this rumor was just talked about on camera and all of a sudden you're shocked. And then you're also like so ready to sit down and address it. And you're worried about your kids hearing it. If your husband's been a hairdresser for 30 years, then people make fun about your kid's dad being gay. Like they just do, you know?
And both Monica and Heather have said, yeah, no, we have heard this for 20 something years. This is not new information. Also, it's like really interesting that it's always like the men are the ones being accused of this. And frankly, it's the women on Bravo who have proven to be more regularly part of like on the LGBT.
Also, Angie pushed that last year about Heather and Jen Shah.
Yep. Yeah.
So feels very stale because it feels very much like, okay, well, how do I have a story this year? Well, here's a thing that people have said about my husband for years, and you know, like we've dealt with it before, and like we don't really care about it because he's a hairdresser. People are always going to say that, so let's have this come out and be the tea and be my storyline this season. You know, it feels very
being Greek was her only other option.
Opa.
I'm not going to spoil anything for you, but I will say that Angie, this is what I was getting to with tropes. Angie tries to adopt a housewife trope at the top of the episode that after Monique Samuels did it on Potomac should simply never be done again. And I'm upset that Angie thought that she was within like sort of that realm of top tier housewife that she thought she was able to do that.
Okay.
That's all I'll say. And after I saw it, I was done with her.
Okay. Question. Is Heather Dubrow in the middle of a catch-22? We want to see her wealth, but it's getting increasingly gross to watch. Is that fair? I disagree.
I disagree too.
I don't find it gross to watch. I love it.
When she said the next house will be better, I said, thank you, ma'am. Get cameras in there.
Okay. When I saw that tacky Roberto Cavalli apartment of hers.
Looks like it had been decorated by Donald Trump in 1995.
Yes. Okay. Gianni Versace was murdered there, okay? Yeah. That is, it looked awful.
Can you imagine wanting to live in the middle of Century City? God, no.
No. And it's definitely just, it was definitely probably more expensive because of the Cavalli design. Yes, all this stuff flowed over from Italy. I'm like, send it back in the mail.
But like, here's the thing. Like, I love watching Heather. I actually think that like, were I on OC, I would be occupying that Gina space of like, the not so wealthy one
who of course
really well with Heather. Like I like
her. She's a good friend, and as long as you're not being shady towards her, she seems to love to share her wealth. Like I would be friends with Heather. I'd be on that private jet. I'd be going on trips.
I'd take that same leather jacket in three colors. I'm quite frankly, like I understand that everyone thinks her relationship with like her and Terry is a little weird, but I see two people who have really settled into a groove in their marriage and do love each other. Her kids seem to like her. She's supportive of like her children who are, I believe, like trans and bisexual. Like, and she's a good person.
Yeah. So I'm all fine with Heather Dubrow.
Yeah. Now, do I want her to move to Beverly Hills and be on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills? Absolutely not.
I do not. I wouldn't like that dynamic on the show anyway, you know?
Yeah.
But she could definitely be a friend of. I would love her to pop in like for a couple episodes. That'd be fun to see her build some genuine relationships with those women. I think that now Andy is more comfortable with crossover things like that. Mm-hmm. But we don't need to see her living there. I think she honestly fits in OC. Yeah. That's her vibe.
And I would say that if original New York cast was still on the air, I would actually love to see her pop in and interact with a Luann, a Sonia, a Ramona. I think that would be fun, but I wouldn't need her there permanently.
Yes. Who do you think would fit in from the old Roni with the new cast well for season two if they were to integrate the old and the new?
So I'm on record. I actually think that like Tinsley should have been in this cast.
Yeah.
But clearly Tinsley, like, I think actually it was just announced she's getting married in a month to a widower in South Carolina or something. So she seems to be doing fine. She, like, I'm actually genuinely happy for her.
Yeah. Be safe, girl. Be safe, girl. Don't have no double jeopardy happening.
I'm happy for her. I'm happy for
I know,
her.
But Tinsley is exactly the kind of person who would marry a wife murderer.
I think Tinsley would have fit in well there. I think, like, if we needed to go back, like, I'm excited to see what Kristen Takeman is about to bring on Legacy, because I wonder if she would have slipped in there really well and been more of, like, not maybe age appropriate, because I think she's a little older than some of these ladies, but, like, at least a younger vibe.
She's like younger than Jenna.
Yeah. And I think Brynn and Sonia, oh my God.
Yeah, that would be fun. That would be fun. You know, I think Brynn and Sonia would be fun. I honestly think Sonia as a, I think Sonia as a old guard, maybe recurring character on the new Roni, sort of like Patricia on Southern Charm, would be fun.
Yes,
agreed. It's God, just sort of like, oh, we're going here to hang out with Sonia. I think that would be fun. Or if you did an episode where they all went to stay at Bluestone Manor.
I'm afraid Dorinda would obliterate those women.
Oh yeah, she'd kill them.
Yeah. No, I love Miss Cat on Southern Charm. I don't know if you're watching this season, but I am.
I love this season enjoying. Of Southern Charm. I'm really enjoying. Oh, you know what I hate the most? I hate that I like Craig again.
Yeah. Well, it's Paige. You like Paige.
Yes, I like Paige a bit more now because, I mean, I used to be, I think it actually was interviewing Paige. Because I was firmly hard Team Lindsay. But then I also met a lot of people who know Lindsay. And I was like, I could get that she's sort of a monster behind the scenes. But I like Paige, but I like Craig. What I appreciate about Craig on Southern Charm this season is, one, he is doing that messy work of, like, getting in people's business and pushing things. He is really pushing the Austin and Taylor thing to Shep. And, like, he was getting that ball rolling. And I love the new guys on the show, too. Like, they're fun.
We've seen enough of them for you to like them?
Well, I mean, who's... Okay, what's that one voice they brought up?
Rodrigo, and then there's Rod. I think there's two Rods.
No, there's who's the one who?
Oh, JT. Who JT likes with the okay, insulin? Okay, yeah. Mommy.
Okay, yes.
He keeps saying
okay, yeah.
Mommy.
So yeah. Okay, so there's okay. We haven't seen that much of him, but JT started immediately with the mess by bringing up. Well, you know, I was talking to Taylor. She was like, "Well, I'm leaving Austin," and he. Honestly, I think he's kind of cute in like a straight Southern guy sort of way. And I feel like I just revealed something dark about myself.
I mean, whatever. I'm still attracted to Shep. So, like, I don't know.
Honestly, I feel like he got gross for a while, but I think that he looks good this season.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
I think he looks good this season. And I don't hate Shep anymore. I still don't. We are a long way from the era where relationship was a thing that we needed on TV. But.
And a book, apparently, that we needed on the shelves.
Yeah. This is a weird era.
Yeah. I will say, I don't need to see Charles again. If we needed to get rid of Benita and Leva, I hate to say that, but they could go.
Yeah. I mean, they're not really giving me anything, you know? No. Also, I guess, lastly, speaking of relationship, a question that we have is, canceled Bravo shows, which one would you like to see back on TV?
Did Candy and the Gang get a second season? Because
maybe
that might be the one. Wait. Oh, no, it got a surprise renewal in August.
Okay. Bullets and Biscuits.
A man on that show, all I'll say is that a man lives in a loft apartment with like 13-foot high ceilings. And instead of mounting his television to a wall, He hung sort of an Acme cartoon style chain from his ceiling and hung the television from that. And it just sort of spun around in the air. And I saw that, I screamed, and I said, I'm here for as long as I need to be.
I actually am so shocked that we do not have a new version of NYC Prep on TV.
Oh, well, that's because, we don't have enough time for me to get into that. Let me tell you, the schools are not going to allow that to happen.
It's just, honestly, when you think of shows that were in sort of the zeitgeist and are still sort of out there, even though there was so little content of it, do you know how many people still say, guests of a guest do not bring guests?
Yeah.
Iconic line.
But like, so Sonia's daughter went to my high school and we didn't see pictures of her there until her graduation ceremony. Like, these schools are not having it.
That's fair. Maybe a different version of NYC Prep where it's like college something student.
Like
maybe rich college, like rich in like a version of Rich Kids of Beverly Hills, was rich college students in New York and after they've left the prep schools, you know?
Yes. Yeah. We can certainly go back, but no. Nightingale Bamford does not want us in there.
Also, I think, you know, maybe Gallery Girls.
Yeah. I could see that. That's a nice sort of like, that's actually a nice bridge between Real Girlfriends of Paris and like a New York show on that same level.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you again for being here, Kendra. It's fun as always.
Thank you for having me.
The person I love talking about Bravo with. And that has been Keep It Real. So we will see you next week.
Keep It is a Crooked Media production. Our senior producer is Kendra James. Our producer is Chris Lord. And our associate producer is Malcolm Whitfield. Our executive producers are Ira Madison III and Louis Vertel.
This episode was recorded and mixed by Evan Sutton. Thank you to our digital team, Megan Patzel and Rachel Gajewski, and to Matt DeGroot and David Tolles for production support every week.
And as always, Keep It is recorded in front of a live studio audience.